www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, this is one of those really funny kind of moments. Papa John's. Remember Papa John? The Shatner guy, I guess his name is. The pizza guy who got ousted for the racist, evidently using racist slurs. NBC News thought it was breaking news today that, you can't make this nonsense up. They thought it was breaking news that Papa John didn't actually eat 40 pizzas in 30 days. He only had 40 pizzas in 30 days. This is what news is today, folks. You cannot make this up. Evidently, Papa John's was on some crappy podcast where he made the correction. You know, I used the verb had. I didn't eat all of it. I had them. I had 30 pizzas, 40 pizzas. I took a bite out of a couple of them. Quality control. NBC, making a big deal out of it. Just dumb. Dumb. Anyway, here to share some actual real news, I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story, to come join us. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Happy Thursday.
Am I wrong to see this as just incredibly ridiculous and to say that I don't give a rat's behind if Papa John had it, wore it, beat it, slammed it, stepped on it, rolled over it?
Snuggled with it. Danced with it. You know, I think this is what happens whenever the impeachment is over. It's like that message where when they break in for breaking news or a weather report or something, and then they're like, and now we're back to our regularly scheduled program. And that's pretty much what the news is now, where we have just moved on to banality and the fluff stories. And I was really excited to read a story about a 34-pound cat that was up for adoption. Like, it's the little things now where you can kind of move on with your life.
So you're not going to be as harsh as I am then on NBC then, right?
I'm not going to be that harsh on NBC, but that's a stupid story.
Completely freaking stupid. Especially when you've got today, you've got John Kelly, and again, way too freaking late. Coming out and saying, look, this is it. What Alexander Vindman did is exactly what we tell soldiers to do. He did the exact right thing, and he's been fired for it for no reason, and it's wrong.
Not just he's been fired for it, his brother, who had nothing to do with any of this, the only thing that he did is have the last name Vindman, and he was fired too.
Along with what, 70 other people as well?
It's ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. We've gone from the Saturday night massacre. Now he did the Friday night massacre, except that he keeps massacring. It's the Trump massacre. And I read today that he was basically talking about how everybody around him is a bunch of snakes, and so he wants, you know, his people back. So he brought Hope Hicks back, and that other dude who was his body man for a while. So, I'm going to guess that maybe he's just going to bring in all the crazy people, and nobody will stand in the way of him saying and doing crazy things. And, I mean, obviously he's continuing to break the law on Twitter, and Bill Barr today was just like, dude,
shut up.
Maybe keep it down a bit.
I can't cover up your crimes if you're out there talking about them.
Yeah. What a weird thing for him to say. He's like, I wish I could do my job without the influence of, you know, the other voices talking behind me, meaning Donald Trump's tweets. And it's like, oh, you mean you wish you could do your job without somebody being forthcoming about the crazy illegal things that you're doing? Is that what you mean? So this is our world now, man.
No, and it's scary stuff. And I liked Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's lawyer's response to all this, that, you know, well, yeah, we're just encouraging him to break more laws.
Yeah, and it really does seem like he's totally being upfront about it now because he thinks that he can do it. When you're a celebrity, they let you do it.
And that's what I've heard. I've heard they let you grab you by the you know what.
And that is now persisting, and that has become synonymous with everything, not just grabbing your lady bits, but everything. He's breaking every law he can and just being like, ha ha. And the Republicans are going to let him do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to me. And you know, the impeachment trial, or I'm never going to say that. It was more of the cover-up sham. I'm sure there are better words. But that whole thing to me was just, you know, it's over. I mean, at this point, we got 264 days until the next election to maybe, hopefully, possibly right the ship. If not, I don't know.
If not, you know, it kind of feels like the tide is turning on the Senate. The more stuff I see about people like McSally and Collins and Thom Tillis and Joni Ernst, like, it's not looking good for them. And the worse Trump gets, the worse it looks for them. So I think the more that reporters, both here in Washington and back in their home states, the more reporters can ask them questions about this stuff, the better.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because there's no answer that they can give. You know, yes, they gave him a blank check to do whatever he wanted on the taxpayer's dime. So, I mean, people like Martha McSally, if she wants to blow up at another CNN reporter, then knock yourself out. But it's really not looking good. You know, it's really not looking good, especially for her. Susan Collins, not looking good for Susan Collins either. My favorite thing that happened this week is, Susan Collins made that comment about
he learned his lesson.
Yeah. Right. And the best thing ever was when I think it was Jim Acosta or Mani Raju was questioning her outside of her office. And she was like, I don't understand why people keep asking me, you know, trying to tie my vote to, you know, him learning his lesson. It's like,
because
you tied that.
You did that.
That was all you, Susan. And it's just amazing to me that every single day now I see more and more people just constantly saying, is he going to behave now, Susan? You know, like people just tweeting at her constantly. It's become like the new thing to do. And it's everywhere. Like I set up a column just to watch because there are so many people doing it. And I'd like to say that it's the cool thing to do and all of the kids should be doing it. But seriously, this is one of those really great things where when you're on Twitter and you're on social media, you're opening the door for every constituent in the country to demand answers from you. And I think that that's our responsibility as citizens now.
Yeah, I've seen
that.
You
know, we need to be asking. No, it would be great if all the reporters need to ask questions, but we should be too.
Absolutely. No, I saw that trending and, you know, it reminded me of Van Jones saying, you know, now Trump is presidential. And, you know, the mocking that came after that, this is right up there with the same thing in my mind.
Yeah. And Van Jones, bless his heart, he's never been able to crawl out of the hole since then. I mean, he basically just completely screwed himself with every progressive voter. Just with that one statement. And I mean, even now, like we cannot write stories about Van Jones because our people won't even click on them. That's how bad it is. Just from one little comment. And so you look at Susan Collins and it's like, oh, did you screw the pooch on this one?
Yeah, because it's a dumb thing to say, because look, when has he ever learned? I mean, seriously, when has Donald Trump ever?
How is it that a U.S. senator, an actual honest-to-God U.S. senator who should have an enormous amount of experience in this field, in the world of politics, how does she not know? Like, I am legitimately concerned that there is something wrong with her brain, that either she's not paying attention or she's completely lost it. And, you know, maybe that she just didn't tune in to the entire 2016 election. Maybe she was watching Lifetime. I don't know.
But she's watching a Hallmark movie.
Maybe.
Because most
over
of those aren't most of the Hallmark movies shot in Maine? I mean, most of them, aren't they set in like a small town in Maine?
I thought they were all shot in like Toronto, and I think everything's shot in Canada.
Yeah, well, that too. But no, I mean, maybe it's something in the water, but I hear her say that. I'm going, it's just crazy. And I hope she gets thrown out. I'm so tired of Susan Collins, and I'm tired of Lisa Murkowski. I'm tired of the fake, oh, they're moderates. They're not moderates. They're followers. They're going to do whatever they're told.
Yeah, they're not moderates, and they're playing the game. They play the game just like every other Republican. I think Susan Collins maybe at one point in her life tried to seem like she was an independent. That was a big part of, you know, her campaign push a couple of years ago. I don't know if she's looking at the numbers and thinking, you know, there's no way that I'm going to edge this out. There's no way I'm going to win. So I need to figure out what's next for me. And maybe that's why she's hugging Trump so close. Maybe she needs to go become a lobbyist and is counting on Donald Trump to, you know, take on whatever the hell she pitches to him. Yeah. Or
who knows?
You know, but if Susan Collins loses, that does not bode well for other Republicans. We know for certain Cory Gardner's done. Pretty sure Susan Collins is done. I don't know how Martha McSally digs out of that hole, because she's up against an honest to God, you know, an astronaut.
Yeah, yeah.
She's running against an astronaut. The guy is literally out of this world.
Yeah, you got that one. Terrible. In. Congratulations.
That was a terrible
and then look, you got two Democrat, you got two seats up in Georgia. So even if you grab just one of those, you know, it's possible. And look, I'm hoping for a sweep. I'm hoping Sanders takes the White House and we end up with the House and the Senate so we can get some actual stuff done. But I don't think Trump's going to let go that easily. Like this thing with Stone. This whole dust up has been a great cover for the Friday Night Massacre because we've been talking about that now. And I believe that you know, he's going to pardon Stone anyway, because Stone actually knows where all the bodies are, because they've been with each other for 40 freaking years.
Yeah, that's one of the things. There was a great op-ed from Rick Wilson, who's one of my favorite Republicans to read because he's just so catty. I think he did leave the Republican Party now. So he's an ex-Republican who's just really snarky. And he basically said, yeah, they've been friends for a long time. He knows where the bodies are buried. There's no way that Trump's going to let him sit in prison, you know, with big burly gang members for that long. And what I don't understand is then why is he wasting everybody's time? You know, why is he wasting the judge's time, the prosecutors? Why is this becoming such a huge deal? Why did he even bother letting a trial go through? Why didn't he just pardon him? It just seems like a complete and total waste, but
if you look at his MO is always about causing chaos. And by letting this draw itself out, you can use it as a distraction. Because it was the distraction for the Friday Night Massacre. And now you've got Billy Barr out here saying, oh, I wish he would stop tweeting, which has caused another distraction. I got to tell you, I'm hoping that Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats begin investigating Barr. Because I think he's guilty of a bunch of crimes now.
Yeah, and I think they definitely need, I was looking at Nadler and the Judiciary Committee's Twitter today, hoping that they would announce, yes, we are now announcing our hearing into what the hell happened, or bringing in all four of these people who are doing the Stone prosecution, and we're calling Bill Barr. I know that the House has called him. I don't know what committee it has been, and he's agreed to show, but I don't know if it was, I think it was about something else. I don't think it was Roger Stone related.
Yeah.
And I would say too, I know that we lost the impeachment and it sucks. But one of the main things that there was this constant battle about in both the impeachment trial and during the hearings was this whole subpoena issue that never really got resolved. And one of the reasons that they kept hammering the Democratic House managers who were trying the case, they kept saying, you know, you withdrew the subpoenas. So clearly you didn't really want to subpoena them. You know, you didn't fight for this in court. And so I'm just like, well, then why don't we just subpoena everything and fight everything?
Right.
And, you know, yeah, it might take forever. It really, honest to God, might take all the way to the election. But if something happens in October, you know, if some judge in October, you know, in an appeals court says, yeah, no, you got to turn this over, then I'm cool with that. Like, I'm fine waiting for that. I think, too, we've talked about this before. The sergeant at arms can go into the DOJ and say, give me the documents. If you don't give me the documents, then I'm arresting you. Where the hell is the gumption of the House to enforce that? That's the reason that they're there. That's the reason there's a jail in the bottom of the Capitol. If somebody's not going to comply with a subpoena, then guess what? It's time to take it to the next level.
No, and I was wondering that during the Democrats' hearings. You know, if they don't honor subpoenas, go get them. Because if it were you or me who said, we're not gonna listen to your subpoena, we would be in the basement locked up. There's no question about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's completely unfair. I mean, if you don't show up for jury duty, they put a warrant on you for an arrest. I don't understand why we're letting these people get away with this.
No, I'm right with you. Because ultimately, you have to show up. You don't have to answer the questions. You have the right to remain silent. You can plead the fifth, but your butt better be in that seat.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all of these people who keep complaining about, you should have gone through the court system, you should have done all of this stuff, then I think we're like, all right, well, you told us to do this, so we're going to do it. You know, that's the excuse, right? That's all of these Republicans who are going to complain, all these hearings. They're like, well, but you told us to do this.
Right.
So we are.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so frustrating.
No, it is one of those things where you look at it and you go, so do you think now is the time to you know, go back and reinvestigate all this stuff? Or is it too late at this point? Is it now just really about the election?
Well, I think that there are some things that never did get resolved. There are things that were kind of tangentially involved with the Ukraine scandal, but not really, that we never found answers to. You know, I do think that we should be subpoenaing Bolton just because he promised that he would subpoena before the Senate, but not for the House, which is a terrible precedent to set. Like, for that reason alone, the House should call him and, you know, take that through court. And, you know, I'm curious to see if Trump is going to fight in court against his book being published because they're saying that it has classified information in it. And so they're trying to block the publishing date, and that's going to end up in court. And that's like, we're talking a month and 3 days is when that book's supposed to be released.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I have a friend who's a former congressman. And he said, look, you know, because I had this conversation with him while the hearings were going on. I'm going, I don't understand why you just don't subpoena these people and force them to sit in the seat. And he goes, look, for you or me, yeah, they're going to subpoena us and we better be there. But for these folks at this level, they can afford high-priced lawyers who can tie this stuff in the courts for years. And I'm going, well, why is it that it takes this long to work through our court system? Why can't we get a resolution in a very, very short period of time?
Well, I think that's in large part one of the reasons that people hire these high-priced lawyers is they know all of the paperwork, all of the motions, all of the things, all of the barriers to put in place so that things do take forever. But I think that's one of the reasons you still have to enforce the subpoenas. You know, you have to keep fighting for this because it sets such a terrible precedent if we just decide, okay, well, we're going to give up because it's just going to take too long. No, it cannot work that way. That is not the way that the judicial system should work or the subpoena power of the legislative system. Like right. That, we can't function like that as a country. We have to use the powers that we have, regardless of how long it takes.
Yeah, I'm with you. So let's move along to the big election coming up. What'd you think of the results on Tuesday night? Obviously, I don't think we still know what's going on in Iowa. You got the Iowa Democratic Party chair who resigned. That doesn't look good. I'm hoping Perez at some point resigns. What'd you think of the results on Tuesday night?
It was completely expected. I mean, there was no surprises. I basically predicted what the outcome would be and then went to bed and woke up the next morning and the outcome was exactly what I predicted.
So you saw Klobuchar strong third and her being the story for the entire next day, so they didn't have to actually talk about Sanders winning?
The thing I was really angry about is, you know, whenever Warren did really well in Iowa, when Warren came in, was it third? They didn't even carry her speech.
Right.
But Klobuchar came in fifth and they carried her speech. And so then when Klobuchar got third, made a strong third place showing New Hampshire and they carried her speech, but didn't even put, you know, Warren on TV. And I was just like, what the hell? You know, this is sad. This is really depressing. You know, I try not to speak ill of Democrats, but I know a lot of people, well, not a lot of people. I know several people who, you know, are in politics and who've had the awful experience with Amy Klobuchar. And so I think that's a terrible idea for her to be the nominee because a whole bunch of stuff is going to come out the second that she is the nominee.
Yeah.
The fact that she's winning now, I'm surprised that we're not seeing more stories from survivors of the kind of abuse that she inflicted on people. I mean, seriously, like smacking people in the face with binders and, you know, throwing things at people. I mean, it's just like, this is an HR disaster waiting to happen. If this is a man, right? If this is Al Franken, he'd be gone. So I just am not, I'm just shocked that, you know, people are so obsessed with her, but are completely ignoring Elizabeth Warren, who is bazillion times smarter than she is, has way more experience. And it has a bigger following. I'm just shocked, but I just feel bad for Elizabeth Warren.
So, but you know, look, I think everyone like you, I predicted exactly what was going to happen on Tuesday. There weren't any surprises. But Bloomberg's rise coming up into Nevada, coming into South Carolina, Super Tuesday, you know, there are a lot of people saying it's going to come down to Bloomberg or Sanders. How is it that the Democrats are going to take on a guy who literally bought his way, hasn't even been a part of a debate? We got a lot of nice little cute commercials, which I like some of his commercials, but he's literally buying his way onto the stage.
Which is completely wrong and on so many levels. I cannot believe that Bloomberg would do well in Nevada, and you have to say it Nevada. It's not Nevada. They will yell at you.
I'm okay
People
with that.
In Nevada will yell at you because it's, you know, that's how they say it is Nevada. Every single time a pundit on television says it wrong, I tweet at them and say Nevada.
So you're going to tweet at me now? Is that what's going to happen?
I might have to. I might have to. There's a whole thing on explaining the way you pronounce it. But yeah, no, this idea of Mike Bloomberg just is so disturbing. I hate the idea of somebody buying a primary. At the same time, I really love that he's trolling Donald Trump with these ads. And I've read some stories when he first got started, there was this rumor that the only reason that he was running is because he wanted to do ads against Donald Trump, and you get a better ad rate. The best ad rate that you can get on television is if you're a candidate.
Right.
It's like, you know, just a step above a public service announcement. It's so unbelievably cheap. And so I had heard that the reason that he was running is he really wanted to run all these ads against Donald Trump at the cheapest possible way so that he could spend gazillions of dollars and hammer Donald Trump. And when I read that, I was just like, all right, I'm cool with that.
I'm actually cool with that. I just don't want him to be the nominee. I love the fact that he's trolling him. I love the ads. I just don't want him to be president.
And the idea that he's running a legitimate campaign is where I'm like, no, this is not acceptable. And then it's this, you know, people saying, well, he's really only in there in case Biden, you know, fizzles out. And it's like, God, like, can you not just have the process work its way out? Like, do we really need to be like, okay, we're going to get some former Republican to come in and, you know, who just has $1 billion because we think that the only way we can win is a billionaire versus a billionaire? Come on. That's not the way it should work, ever.
But you hear it all the time. Bernie's a rich guy. Bernie's part of the 1%. Bernie's probably one
Bernie
of the poorer.
Bernie is not part of the 1%. Bernie is not even close to the 1%. Like, maybe the top 20%, you know, just from a book deal or something. But
well, he's got a couple $1 million. I mean, he does. He's worth a couple $1 million. But if you've made 175 grand a year for the last 20 years, you'd better damn well have at least a couple $1 million.
Yes, but Donald Trump, who claims that he's a billionaire, is the 276th richest person in America. Like, that's how many billionaires there are now in the United States. That's how many people who have, like, hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, a millionaire isn't what they used to be.
Yeah, there's, like, 600 billionaires, I guess, is the number. We're around 600.
And Bernie is on the low end of that.
Yeah, no, he's a couple million. I mean, he could live in my neighborhood. And look, I've known Bernie for years, and I've known people who've worked with Bernie for years. Here's a guy who still brings a bag lunch to work. You know, this is not somebody spending.
Why he still has money.
It could be that too. So finally, what are we looking for in the for the Friday Night Massacre this week? Are you paying attention to anything here in the next day? What's going to happen?
So the thing that I'm hearing is that a lot of Justice Department people are furious about this thing with Barr and about the intrusion in the Stone case. There are upwards of 30 prosecutors at the Justice Department who want to leave, who want to quit. A lot of people are saying, please don't, because we need you in government to kind of hold all of this together. Like,
right.
Y'all are the glue that are trying to keep this thing, this machine running and keeping it from, you know, going into the ground. And so the thing I'm watching is if people quit tomorrow. I really hope that they don't.
That will be scary, because then you get a bunch of sycophants and ideologues to fill those positions. Yeah. And then look out.
Yeah, I think too, if those people quit, I think Barr's done. You know, if the entire Justice Department goes, then that's probably not a good look for Bill Barr.
Well, it gives us something to look forward to. Sarah, I appreciate the time and the great work that you guys do over there at Raw Story. Hope people will check out your site and your work. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter there at Raw Story. Make sure you check out their work, rawstory.com. Quick break. Right back.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.